This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Stock up with Bud Light for game days and check out Budweiser's limited edition Copper Reserve. Please drink responsibly.
They're going to run and get that boost.
This game's still alive and the Hawks have a first down.
Who wants to talk football?
It's Ronnie Wingo, number 20. Touchdown, Arkansas.
They talked the bar.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
I guess it was a good day. If you're a Mike Anderson critic or if you're wanting Mike Anderson to leave, it may not have been the greatest day for you, but I don't even know where to start from last night's game. It's the NIT. I get it. It's not the greatest of tournaments. It's not the greatest of games where the other teams or the teams in general really care about it and really buy into it. It's not a type of tournament that's going to get everyone's best effort every single time. So you have to set it up that way. You have to look at it from that perspective, which is what I'm doing and is what all of you should do. However, Arkansas beating Providence 84-72 in a game where Arkansas really was never in danger of losing the lead. This is such a weird team and a weird situation that everyone finds themselves in. If you didn't watch the game and you just looked at the final score, you're probably like, okay, whatever. What difference does that make? They've won games before this year. They've won games against average to below average teams. Who cares? But folks, if you actually watched the game last night from beginning to end, like I did, like Ty did, there was something about that team last night that was just weird and different where they just played like a basketball team should. They were making really good decisions. Really good decisions. They were going out and they were playing for each other. They had great spacing. They had great passing. They shared the ball. They hit their open shots. They looked for the open man. They got out and rebounded. They took advantage of opportunities. And they got out of there with a victory. And, you know, honestly, yesterday, folks, when we were talking about the situation Arkansas found themselves in, I was of the belief that without Daniel Gafford, they were going to get smoked. I'll be honest about it. I was wrong. I thought that they would go into Providence and not have their best player, have a lot of things, a lot of adversity hitting them, and that they would not be able to overcome it. That they would go on the road and just get ran out of the gym, and then they head home, and everyone would play the waiting game on what happens with the actual basketball program and Mike Anderson. But that's not what happened. This team went on the road against a Big East opponent in the NIT and won in dominant fashion and looked really good doing it. It was one of those things, too, that if you looked on social media during the game, nobody really knew how to explain it. I jokingly and tongue-in-cheek said, hey, maybe the Razorback basketball team is better without Daniel Gafford. Of course, I don't believe that because anytime you have a professional caliber player on your team, more often than not, in fact, if almost always, you're going to be a better team when you have better talent. But it certainly didn't look like the team knew or at least was lost at all without Daniel Gafford. You had other guys step up. Maybe some of the pressure was off to where they could go and make plays. They came out aggressive because that was also going to be the key too, folks. How is this team going to come out in this game? How are they going to come out? Were they going to be sleepwalking, not really caring? Because if that was the case, it's all over. But they came out fiery. They came out aggressive. They were getting after guys. They were causing turnovers. They were getting back on defense. I mean, this is the type of game that if you're a Razorback fan, you sit there and it's almost like you want to pull your hair out. I was like, where was this? Where was this before? Why haven't they been able to do that before? Did they just have to? Because there's times too this year where Daniel Gafford was out of the game and Arkansas played pretty well during those stretches. But what you really got to watch for, and I guess we'll find out this Saturday, is Arkansas has a rematch against Indiana in the NIT. Have to go on the road for that one. Indiana being the number one seed. Was this just a one-time game, too? Because if they go in, folks, and play Indiana really good and they play the same way that they played against Providence, then that's really going to frustrate you. That's really going to make you wonder, why in the world is this happening? What got into this team? What changed? What happened? And also, there were some other storylines going wrong with this game, too. You didn't have TJ Cleveland in Providence. I don't think there was anything officially said on that. I didn't know of any media members. I don't think any local media members went up to Providence. I think most of the media members went down to Austin that we know of.
But I saw Tom was in Austin.
Yeah, and Andrew Hutchinson, who's coming on later with us, he was in Austin, but I did not see...
Was Bob down there in Providence? Because typically they split.
Yeah, well, hey, listen, I watched the press conference with Mike, which we're going to have some audio, and I did not hear Bob's voice. And you know Bob's got a question, so I don't know, but no one asked about TJ Cleveland and his absence there. I think that was a fascinating point that maybe it'll come out or maybe we'll hear why he wasn't up there. We know that athletic director Hunter Yurachek was not up there. They sent some other administrative staff to go over there and watch the NIT game. So there was just some other things going on that made you kind of wonder, okay, where is it all standing at? What's the situation? How is it feeling right now? But if you're a Mike Anderson critic and if you want him gone, you're really hoping that last night's game and performance wasn't one of those save his job type of performances. That's what you're hoping for. Not saying that's for sure happening, but that's what you're hoping for. But if this team continues to go through the NIT and if they beat Indiana on Saturday, and I guess that puts them in the Elite Eight, quote unquote, of the NIT. If they end up doing that, they could have a possibility of having a home game before going to Madison Square Garden. And then where are you at? What if the unthinkable happened where Arkansas made it to the NIT final? What if they won the NIT championship? You going to fire a coach after that? Probably a lot of you still hope it happens, but realistically, could you see that happening if something like that happened? I don't know. But what I do know is that last night's game was a weird one. It was a weird one, and if you're just a casual basketball fan, it was a fun game to watch because it was pretty. It was a pretty game of basketball, especially offensively. The passing, the moving around, the motion, everything was very beautiful. But where was that all season long? Where was that when the times were tough and that you needed some sort of plays to be made against teams? Where was that against Georgia Tech and Western Kentucky? All right? Because Providence is a better team than those two teams. Where was that? I mean, is there really anything to believe that Daniel Gafford not being on the team helped make this happen? Is it maybe some of those things where the pressure got taken off their shoulders a little bit, where it's like, hey, there's not a guy you have to look for anymore, so just go out and play? I mean, is there anything legitimately to that argument?
Maybe the slightest, but I wouldn't say it's just massive. Daniel Gafford, what they did constantly throughout the season, they played four out, one in. It was really five out last night. They had everyone spread. It's not like Gabe Osaboy and Reggie Chaney or Ethan Anderson are lethal three-point shooters by any stretch of the imagination.
No.
But a lot of times, they were completely playing just five out.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned the ball movement, the crispness of the offense. It looked a lot better than it has at any point of the season last night. And Providence is a top, I think, 40 KenPom defensive efficiency team. So it's not like
they were really good defensively, yeah.
Yeah, it's not like you're playing a team that doesn't know what they're doing on that side of the basketball. But Arkansas was just hitting last night. I think it was also anytime you can hit threes.
Oh, it's always helpful.
It's always helpful. And they were on fire last night. John, five of their first seven baskets were from behind the three-point line. Five of their first seven. And the other one, outside of the, there was a layup, Adro Bailey made an one to open the game.
Yep.
So they had six straight three-point possessions, six out of seven to start the game were three-point possessions. That set them up for the entire game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you go 10 of 21 like they did from three-point land last night, you're in good shape. And listen, if Gabe Osaboyan's hitting a three, you know you're winning the game.
Guapo underscore Av is getting at us on Periscope. He's saying TJ Cleveland was recruiting at a national JUCO tourney. Okay. I did see something Kevin McPherson put out, but I didn't think that was going to impact his appearance of the game.
See, that's what I was. I didn't want to say anything because I didn't want to confirm anything that, or you know, get into something that I didn't have confirmation on. But I had heard something that he was out recruiting somewhere. But it's just weird because you don't really see something like that happen. But it makes sense. He's going to a JUCO place and checking that out.
And I think that shows you how much the Nobody's Investment Tournament really is. Because how many times would a coach,
never,
during even a regular season game, miss a game to recruit? That doesn't happen.
Yeah.
And if it does, you almost seldom hear. You just don't hear about it.
Yeah. Well, I think that that's also showing that, hey, they need this to get turned around really quick. So go over there and recruit. We'll take care of this. You go over there and recruit. Try to find some of these guys to help us out next year. But just a really good performance by Razorback basketball. I don't really know what to think about it or say about it anymore.
Follow the show on Twitter at HitThatLineAR. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Now he does a tightrope back. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're in number three. And nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hogs!
Let's go back to the phone lines. We have them rolling in. Sean is in Fort Smith. What's going on, Sean?
Hey, guys. Well, first off, I just want to say it's starting to rain here in Fort Smith. But, man, the basketball team last night, man, they looked totally different without Gafford out there.
I'm telling you.
And as I was watching the game, I was, you know, talking to my wife. My wife brought up an interesting point, and I was like, man, that may be true, is that, you know, did Gafford get along with this basketball team this year? Because, you know, if you remember last year, Barford and Macon, when they were on team, you know, they were always doing press conferences. They were always joking around and stuff. And we didn't get none of that this year. And the Hogs just look totally different without him on the floor. And I hope they can continue the pace that they have. And go Hogs, and baseball team looks good too. And I'll just hang up and listen to see what you guys have to say.
Yeah, appreciate the phone call, Sean, and have a great one, man. You know, that was the thing is, I don't know if there's – I don't know if that Daniel Gafford didn't get along with the team. I don't think that that's the case. At least I wouldn't assume so, just because you can usually tell by body language and how things are approached in the games if that was an issue. I do think, however, we'll see if this impact actually carries over into the next game against Indiana. I do believe that not having Daniel Gafford in the game, though, opened up a lot more opportunities for the other players, to where it's almost like the pressure was off of their shoulders, to where they could go out and they could make plays. They could go out and they could say, all right, well, I don't have to worry about making sure Daniel gets the ball, or I don't have to worry about him being down there on the block calling for the ball and me having to make sure I get it into him. It's more like, all right, guys, just go out there and play basketball. Go out there and play. And you could tell that they seemed a little more confident. You could tell that they seemed like they were just able to make better decisions. They weren't having to force anything. It just seemed very, and this is, I can't believe I'm using this word, it seemed very smooth. And so I don't think it was a problem from Daniel Gafford not being in the game, as far as, oh, you know, he had some issues off the court. They didn't really like him or anything. I just felt like it relieved a lot of the pressure that was on these other players to make sure he got the ball. So they just went out there and they played their game, and it worked out pretty well for him. Let's go back to the phone lines. Pig Suey's in Fort Smith. What's going on, Pig Suey?
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
No problem.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment on a couple things quick with the baseball team. Very excited about that beating Texas. My group text, they keep texting photos of empty trophy cases for Dave Van Horn. So I guess my question is there a trophy at all associated with Dave Van Horn with the baseball program? And then my second, and the purpose of my call was, I think what I saw last night looked like Nolan Richardson, 40 minutes of hell.
Yeah.
I think that you are right. Mike Anderson he's not a call the play kind of guy and develop plays. I think it's hire or bring in athletes. And so I think we got athletes like Isaiah Joe that can't really work good together. And I mean, I'm sorry, with like a traditional setup and offense kind of play. So I'm hoping that with Gafford gone, we can see more 40 minutes of hell. And these guys having fun. It was probably the funnest game. And I actually saw pockets of this when Gafford was sitting on the bench from time to time. But then you usually see Isaiah Joe miss some threes, and then, you know, suddenly the other team would come up and ahead. So it's like the question is this team playing great, because they're making the threes and it jives, but can they play great and win without making threes? And if they can, I think Mike Anderson may have a future here, and I think that the fan base can get excited potentially about next year if we can play and win without having to always hit the threes.
Yeah, and here's the thing too, Pixie, with that, you know, it's not like Arkansas last night. They went 10 of 21 from three-point land. And, I mean, anytime you make 30 points from three-point land, you're going to be in pretty good shape. But it wasn't like they were constantly looking and just jacking up threes because that's what they wanted to do. You saw them driving inside. You saw them passing, making great passes down there on the block. You saw just it was a very smooth, ever-moving offense that was being run. And the spacing was great. That's what made it so weird. It's one thing if they were going out there and they were playing their traditional Mike Anderson basketball and they just got hot from three or whatnot because, hey, you've seen that before. But you saw just a completely different looking team last night, and you just got to wonder, all right, was this a one-game deal? Did they just go in against Providence and the matchup was just perfectly set up for them? Or are they going to carry the same type of mentality and the same type of style over to Indiana? And if they play the same way and do the same things against Indiana that they did against Providence, then you're really going to have to scratch your head and say, okay, was this something like what happened here? What changed? Was Daniel Gafford leaving what was able to help this team out and get a little confidence? I don't know, but it's certainly going to be an interesting talking point.
You bet. And if you guys get time in your research department, if you can at least find a trophy hardware, because that's my group text. The debate is no hardware for the baseball team.
Okay, yeah, we'll get our research team right on that, and we'll make sure we let you know. Appreciate it, Pig.
Yeah, no SEC championships
or
College World Series titles, but if you want to count super regionals or regionals, he's playing full when it comes to that.
He's appeared in the College World Series too. I know it's not his technically trophy, but Andrew Benintendi, you know, winning all the awards he did was pretty impressive.
Golden Glove, yeah.
I mean, pretty much won every award you could have. So
Golden Spikes.
Yeah, Golden Spikes. But that's the thing is, like, if you talk about Dave Van Horn, and if anybody tries to criticize you, he's like, oh, look at the empty trophy case. It's like, okay. First off, how many trophies do you actually win in baseball? How many trophies as a coach can you win in baseball? You can only win pretty much two, and that is a conference title in the tournament, and then a national title in the College World Series.
I remember Bo made a reference a while back comparing him to Tom Izzo outside of the one national championship Izzo's won, because you think about it, DVH basically gets the guys to a College World Series about every 4 years or so. The law of averages would say that if you come to Arkansas, you're probably going to end up at Omaha at least one out of your 4 years.
Yeah.
If you end up staying that long.
Yeah.
Outside the championship that Izzo won, that's a very similar comparison that you can make. Because it just, like, he's in, just like DVH, Izzo, his guys, they basically make a Final Four every 4 years.
Yep.
And that's the same thing you see with Dave Van Horn. They're always competitive. And you think about the one time back in 2016 when they didn't make the College World Series, that's the only time that Arkansas baseball has been, below the curve? You're like, what happened this year?
Yeah.
And then what did they do? They came back and now they were one out away from the College World Series last year.
And they look like they're well on their way to at least making it to a super regional, maybe the College World Series, because right now they're playing great, man.
Yeah.
I mean, they're fun to watch. I mean,
Texas is a top 10 ball club. You go to Austin, you remember they swept LSU earlier this year. Who many consider either the first or second best team in the country, depending on Vanderbilt. And I know that you're playing at home, you have that advantage, but Arkansas went down to Austin. That's a rivalry game. That's not even... like, LSU and Texas are not rivals on the baseball field, and Arkansas crushed them last night.
Yeah,
like,
and you know that Texas had some extra motivation go in because of all the stuff that happened last year where Arkansas swept them every time they played Texas, and, of course, the Heston Kerstad shoving off the first baseman and whatnot. You know that they wanted that game.
They had all the factors contributing that would have led you to believe that they would have come out with a lot more firepower and intensity last night, and instead Arkansas was that team that really looked locked in, buckled down, and just came out and crushed them last night. Like, they punched him in the face. And
they were up 11-0 in the fourth inning.
And, like, Texas couldn't recover.
Yeah. We'll see how it goes again tonight. It was a great game all around for Arkansas. And if they take care of business tonight again the same way they did last night, then I think that's going to have some real excitement. And listen, again, Razorback fans in the Mountain Sport, if you beat Texas, especially if you crush Texas, especially when Texas is supposed to be good and you do it at their place, I mean, you can't ask for anything better than that.
Ambush in Austin back with Matt Jones. I mean,
back in 2003. I mean, there's just something to it. There's just something to it.
So it's one thing to beat Texas. It's a completely other thing to beat them in Austin, Texas.
And dominate them.
And dominate
while
them
doing it, too. So even back in the old Southwest Conference days, there were times where the Southwest Conference tournament, they would even have it in Austin. In fact, I'm pretty sure, I could be wrong about this, but I'm pretty sure when Nolan walked off the court, that was in Austin, Texas for that Southwest Conference against Texas. I could be wrong about that. I feel like I get my memory, sometimes have to get re-jogged there. But either way, anytime you're doing it, it's always a great time. Let's go back to the phone lines. Rod is on I-540, or I-40, excuse me. What's going on, Rod?
Yeah, good morning, guys. Wow, Mr. Neighbors, you've asked a question there that it made me think. It hurt, but, you know, I can occasionally do that. And all I right. got to thinking maybe we're looking at it from the offensive point of view. Maybe it should be the defensive point of view. The other team knows how to defend Daniel Gafford. They put two on him and collapse on everybody else. If you ain't got Daniel Gafford and the floor is spread, you can actually run a pretty smooth stream of offense.
Yeah. I mean, that was the thing. It just seemed like that it – I'm not saying that having Daniel Gafford not on the team makes this team better. I don't think anyone should say that, because if he's an NBA caliber player and if you take him off the team, you're not a better team for it. I just do think, though – that in certain circumstances against a certain matchup, and that looked like Providence served for that perfect matchup, that Arkansas and this team, they weren't forcing as much. They seemed more comfortable without Daniel Gafford being out on the floor. Not saying it's a negative or a slight against Gafford. It just seemed like they were more comfortable, laid back, relaxed, and just went out and played basketball.
Yeah, we got one really sweet baseball team, too. They actually look as good, if not better, than last year.
Well, I mean, they're on the right path right now. I mean, listen, they're going to be a top 10 team probably by next week. It depends on which poll you look at. If they're able to take care of business against Alabama this weekend, which Alabama is not picked to win any big major championships or anything.
One of the three worst teams in the SEC.
So if Arkansas sweeps them or at least gets the series victory, you're in good shape there. Then it gets really into the nitty-gritty. But I'm telling you, if they can just continue to develop and continue to get better – and play the way that they're playing right now, I don't see any reason why Arkansas and Dave Van Horn doesn't make it back to the College World Series this year.
Finally, a team from Arkansas I don't got to worry about.
Hey, that's the one thing, man. You know, for a long time, when football was so bad, people would say, well, just wait till basketball season. Now it's kind of like, all right, well, football's not great, basketball's not great, just wait till baseball, because baseball you can always count on. I mean, I know that Razorback fans were watching that game last night, and they were seeing that number 11 next to their Arkansas name, and they saw, or I guess it was number 11, 12, depending on which ranking you look at, their top 15 team. And then they saw 11-0 over a Texas team that was like 14th in the country or whatever. I think Arkansas was 9 and Texas was 14. So when Razorback fans see that, it's just almost like, what is this? What am I looking at right now? A team that's really good, that's playing another team that's really good, and they're dominating them? What is this? So it was just a really good feeling for Razorback fans to know that, hey, you can always count on Dave Van Horn and this baseball team.
Yep, that's all I got for now, except I always say stops on a construction at Fort Smith is like going through a maze trying to get to work now.
I can understand. Appreciate the phone call, Rod. Appreciate it, man.
One of the stats that you told me before halftime yesterday was that Arkansas for football and basketball had their sixth worst combined wins for the football and basketball program in the history of the program. And then in 50 years, the worst amount of combined losses between the two programs. I mean, you got to think about it, there's more games that you're playing today. Mm-hmm. So those stats are a little bit skewed. I mean, it could be worse than that. And so now people are like, wow, a team that actually is
what a concept.
Really
what a concept.
And that's why more people are going to flock, not only because of the College World Series appearance last year, but because of how bad the football and basketball teams were, more people are going to flock to the baseball program. And if they continue their success, which, I mean, it's, I know you mentioned yesterday, the back end of their schedule is a lot tougher than the front end. But if they can keep winning like this, you're only going to have more and more people who aren't even traditional baseball fans follow this baseball team.
Listen. You can always, you don't ever have to worry about Dave Van Horn in baseball. You can say, well, it's like, oh man, you know, if they can keep this up, they can do this. They're going to. They're going to be just fine.
Subscribe to Hit That Line on iTunes. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Give is to Alex Collins straight up the middle, and Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas.
We welcome in Andrew Hutchinson of hogbeat.com. Good morning, Andrew. And you're down there in Austin, right? So you were able to watch the game firsthand, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm down here, made the trip, and, man, they put it to them last night, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. So let's just start right there. I mean, Arkansas going up against Texas, anytime these two teams face in any sport, there's always going to be a little extra energy, a little extra buzz. Arkansas took care of them last year in a convincing way. We all remember Heston Kerstad pushing their first baseman off the mound or off the base there at first base. So there was always going to be a little extra energy for this one. But Arkansas, man, they came out firing, not only on the offensive side, but the defensive side. It was just a really great performance last night all around.
It really was, and honestly, the second inning kind of came out of nowhere. You know, the first inning kind of flew by. Arkansas went down 1-2-3, Casey Martin, Heston Kerstad, and Trevor Ezell on 5 pitches. And so you were thinking, all right, maybe it's going to be kind of a pitcher's duel because you knew Patrick Wisslander was going to be pretty good. And sure enough, Arkansas came out and just put it to him. I mean, I think Dominic Fletcher got it all started with the double, and Christian Franklin hit the grand slam. There's a little bit of some controversy there whenever it appeared that he might have passed Jacob Nesbitt on the base paths. That's something you hardly ever see, but it looked like it was going to be a sack fly, honestly, and the ball just kind of kept carrying, and they ended up reviewing it. The call stood, so it was a grand slam, and then Heston Kerstad followed it up with a 435-foot home run to make it a 6-run inning. So it was really impressive to see Arkansas do that. There was a little bit of worry there when they gave up 4 runs in the 4th inning, but that was really all Texas could manage. You know, Cole Ramage came in and retired all 9 batters he faced, and so Arkansas got the 11-4 win. And I was shocked. I mean, I kind of figured this might be a series that Arkansas might have a little bit of trouble with, you know, before the season actually started. I picked Texas to win both of these games, and obviously that shows you what I know. But they got it done, and they'll see if they can complete the sweep today.
Well, Arkansas is sitting at 18-2, so they're 20 games in. And we knew that this team lost a lot from last year, but we also know that it's a Dave Van Horn team, so you can never rule them out. But just through the first 20 games of the season, is this about as good as you expected Arkansas to be? Are they better? Or, what's your overall thought just so far 20 games in?
Yeah, they're better than I expected. I think they're 2 or 3 games ahead of where I had them picked at this point of the season. So they're a lot better than I thought they were going to be. I thought they were going to have a few struggles because they did lose a lot of production from last year's team, both offensively and on the mound. So they've done really well. You know, they don't exactly have the same kind of offense that they had last year. You're not sitting back waiting for the home run, but they find ways to score. They scratch runs across. Obviously, they had the grand slam and the monster home run by Kerstad last night. So if you look back at the Missouri series, I think they scored 9 total runs across the 3 games, and a lot of those were, you know, they scored on errors, they scored on sack flies, they scored on squeeze bunts, things like that. So they're finding ways to score enough runs, and the pitching staff has been phenomenal. I think they're like 2nd in the country in terms of strikeouts per 9 innings, top 5 in strikeout to walk ratio, top 20 in ERA. So They have been pitching really, really well. Obviously, it's still a little bit early. Missouri is not exactly picked to do much in the SEC East. And, you know, Alabama this weekend, I think, is picked last in the SEC West. So Arkansas's got a really good chance to get off to a really good start in the SEC. But, you know, what they did last night to a Texas team, a top 10 in the country, was really impressive. So I think they're a little bit ahead of where I thought they were going to be, and it's mostly because you got guys at the bottom of the lineup producing as well. In addition to the pitching, you know, Christian Franklin was a guy that no one really thought was going to do much except for play really good defense and be really fast on the bases. But he's hit 3 home runs, has a bunch of RBIs. I think he's now up to 23 RBIs, something like that. That no one saw that coming, and he's been phenomenal out of the 9th hole.
Speaking with Andrew Hutchinson of hogbeat.com right now on the Morning Rush. Andrew, let's switch it up to basketball side of things. We all knew Daniel Gafford was not going to play in the NIT. Arkansas heading up to Providence last night. I honestly thought that Arkansas was going to get beat handedly just because of the way this season ended. And anytime you lose your best player, it's always a bad thing. But Arkansas was quite the opposite. Looked very good in their performance against Providence. They really led the entire game. Never was in danger of relinquishing that lead. And so when you were able to watch that game, was it as surprising to you as it was to me just to see how well Arkansas played? It seemed like it was a different team.
Yeah. I was actually sitting up in the press box at the baseball game last night with Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, and we were kind of like pulling up the game, and we were like, oh, Arkansas is up by 13. And then we'd be like, well, let's see how they blow that lead. And we'd check back, and it would still be a double-digit lead. And we'd check back a little bit later, and it was still a double-digit lead. And we're like, oh, my gosh, they're actually going to win this game without Daniel Gafford. It was incredible. Ethan Henderson got a lot of playing time. I think he played like 18 minutes, probably more than he's ever played this season. And Gabo Savoyan looks like he had a really solid game. And it was just really surprising to see Arkansas go up there and do that to Providence. Because like you, I think everyone thought Arkansas was going to lose whenever they saw the news that Daniel Gafford was not going to play. So for them to go up there and do that, that was impressive. And I'm going to be anxious to see how they perform, in a rematch against Indiana, on the road. I think that's going to be a really tough matchup for them. But for them to get to the second round of the NIT without Daniel Gafford was surprising, to say the least.
And I know it's always tough to really answer a question like this, but that's been the discussion this morning, at least here on this show. Without Daniel Gafford, was that the reason Arkansas played so well, is just because they didn't have Daniel Gafford? Not necessarily to say that he's not the better player, and it always helps when you have a really good NBA player, or at least an NBA caliber player on your team. But it just seemed like maybe the pressure was off. They were able to free flow a little bit, maybe more comfortable. They just seemed like they were just having fun going out there and playing basketball. And I don't know if that's a direct correlation of Daniel Gafford not being there or not.
Yeah, it might have been one of those deals where, when Daniel Gafford announced that he wasn't, going to play and everyone expected them to lose, you can go in there and play loose. You don't have the pressure. I mean, if everyone's expecting you to lose, it's almost like the Kentucky game near the end of the regular season when they went down there. Everyone thought they were going to get blown out by 30, and they ended up leading for most of the game and having, a 15-point lead, and obviously they ended up losing that game. But they played loose, and they played like, hey, no one's expecting us to win, so why not? And I guess that's what they did last night. A lot of young guys, they're capable of doing that. I mean, it's a young team, and everyone hates hearing that. But when you've got so many young guys on the team like that, you're going to have up and down performances. You're going to have days where they look not so good at all, like the Florida game and the SEC tournament. And then they're going to have games like last night where they look dominant. You're like, man, why haven't they played like that all year? And they'd be playing in March Madness. But that's just kind of what you get whenever you have so many young guys like that. And I honestly think that's probably what it was. They went in there loose, nothing to lose, and got the job done.
Another thing about it right now is that fans are in limbo when it comes to their viewpoint of Mike Anderson. A lot of people, I'm sure you've heard from them on your message boards there at Hogbeat, of people wanting a change, wanting him gone. There was a lot of quiet nature to the situation over the past few days. But what do you make of the current situation, the current status of Mike Anderson as the Razorback basketball coach, and how do you think this is going to play out over the next few days for this program in general?
Well, my thought is, because I'm sure like you, I'm hearing, everything. I've heard people say, oh, he's gone for sure. I've heard people say, oh, he's coming back for sure. It's one of those things where everyone has sources. Mm-hmm. But in my opinion, they probably wouldn't have accepted an NIT bid if they were planning on getting rid of him. That seems to be kind of what happens, is you would make a change after the SEC tournament, after that showing against Florida, if you were going to make a change and then turn down an NIT bid. But they accepted it, and now they've gone and did what they did against Providence without Daniel Gafford. It's like pretty much the team you're going to have next year. Kind of gave a glimpse of the future. So I think he's going to be coming back for another year. It's going to be a critical year for him. I think the pressure is definitely going to be on. He's going to be on the hot seat and going to need to have a really successful regular season and then maybe have some success in the postseason. And I think a lot of that's going to hinge on who they end up bringing in recruiting-wise to replace Daniel Gafford. Obviously, we saw a little bit of Ethan Henderson, what he can do last night. But you probably still need to bring in another big guy on the recruiting trail, and we'll see how it goes. But I think he's going to be back, you know, just based on, you know, how they accepted the NIT bid and then what they did last night. I mean, it could have changed if they went and laid an egg and lost by double digits, but, you know, it's going to be hard to get rid of a guy after he went on the road and did that, you know, without Daniel Gafford.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you, man. I just don't see how it's really going to make any changes as of right now. And I've felt like still, though, that he's going to be back for at least next season. But if they keep advancing into the NIT, I know it's not going to get anybody excited, but it'd be really hard to make any major changes there if he keeps on advancing. So, yeah, the next few days, next couple weeks are going to be interesting on the Razorback basketball side of things. That's Andrew Hutchinson of Hogbeat.com. You can follow him on Twitter at NWAHutch. Have fun down there in Austin, Hutch, but not too much fun. And enjoy the game tonight, man, and hopefully we'll catch up with you later down the road.
All right, sounds good. Thanks for having me on.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.